Hello, Kenya. Give the Lord a big shout. God glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh,
Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh,
Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You know, something is about to happen in the nation of Kenya.
Yeah.
Something divine is about to happen in the nation of Kenya.
Yeah.
And you are not here by coincidence. Make no mistakes about it. The Bible said the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by the Lord.
Yes.
Your steps were ordered here. You are not here by chance. You are not here because you were invited. You came because you are part of the army that God is raising. You know, when God wanted to anoint Saul as king, he orchestrated something. His father's asses went missing. It was never about the donkeys. It was about a spiritual location. It was about a prophetic utterance. And it was about the pouring of an anointing. These three things must come together for a king to emerge. He had to be in that location. There had to be a prophetic decree. And there had to be an anointing upon his head. And the only way Saul would travel from one city to another city to another city until he gets to where the prophet was for donkeys to go missing. But when God got Saul to where he wanted him to get to, the asses on their home returned home. Nobody looked for them. They were found. They went home by themselves. Somebody was manipulated by God to come here. Thank you so much for setting up this platform for Jesus. There is a new order of authority that God has just shifted you into. You will receive greater honor. You will see greater manifestation of the Spirit, and there will be greater open doors for you. Because you have done this for the Lord in the nation of Kenya, the Lord says to tell you that you will receive the capacity to do it in other nations that are not the nations of your origin. Because what you have done here will begin to replicate itself in different nations of the world. And so in the name of Jesus, I bring you the power and the capacity to replicate this same dimension all around the continents of the world. From today, a new seal of authority is given to you. And it is established in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. And so, the theme of our conference is the emergence of sons. How are you doing? Good to see you. God bless you. You're welcome. The emergence of sons. And so, when we begin to consider the subject of sonship, it means we want to consider matters that border around spiritual maturity. We are about to consider matters that have to do with kingdom and government. When we talk about sonship,
We want to look into issues that bother the heart of the Father. Everything God has to give us is made available to us at a realm lower than the realm of sonship. Because when you encounter God, the first thing that happens to you is that you become a child. And at the level of a child, God is predisposed on the strength of his fatherhood to provide all your needs. And so when we want to talk about receiving from God and everything God has to offer, it is obtainable at the realm of a child. At the realm of a child, there are three things that happen to you. Number one, you are declared an heir of God. And so in Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, it said the heir, so long as he's a child. That means the first point where you enter into inheritance is from a child. And so as a child, it is God's responsibility and obligation to provide everything you need. Material prosperity, healing, anything you want to call it. All that God has for life and godliness is allocated to his children. The second thing that happens to you at the realm of a child is that the name of the Lord is named upon you. That means God becomes your defense. It becomes God's responsibility to provide insurance and insurance policies for your existence on the face of the earth. So first, it has to do with provision because you are God's heir. Secondly, it has to do with protection because it is God's responsibility as a father to protect you. How many of you fathers here would allow your children to be victimized in life? You see, as wicked as your earthly parents are, would you ask them for bread and they give you stone? That means God is letting us understand that it is his responsibility to provide all our needs. And all of that is allocated to God's children. So provision, protection are all operations of God that is made available to children. The third thing that God does for you as a child is that God allows you the right of fellowship. Because beyond everything God is giving you at the outer court, he also wants you to come deep and participate with him. He wants you to learn the things of the kingdom. He doesn't just want you to be there to receive things and not know the matters that border on intimacy, governance, and government. Because there is a purpose and agenda that God has on the face of the earth. So in addition to provision and protection, God grants access to children. And that's why it says to come boldly to the throne of grace. To come boldly because access has already been granted. So you don't come into God's presence as a privilege. You come into God's presence as a right because you become a child. And that right is given to you because of the love of the Father. The same way a child doesn't need to beg to come to his father's house. That's how you no longer need to beg to come into God's presence. Because the moment he named his name upon you, you gain the right to walk in the corridors of Abba. So one thing God will do is to ensure that his spirit begins to woo you to come deeper. So when we are talking about a conference of sons, we have left the realm of provision. We have left the realm of protection. That means we take for granted that you have a need. And the reason is because we are not insensitive to your needs, but we now know that as sons, we can command your needs and they will happen. So somebody may come here with cancer. Somebody may come here with deafness. Somebody may come here with blindness. Somebody may come here needing direction. We won't waste our time with that. All we need to do is, in the name of the Lord Jesus, cancer, go. And it will happen because these are sons talking. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. And so by implication, I'm trying to let you know, you won't leave this conference with your sickness. You won't leave this conference with the challenges you came with. At the instance of the Lord, these things will go down. But beyond God answering your prayers, in the realm of sonship, we came to answer God's prayers. Because it's not only man that prays, God prays too. I wish you heard me. It's not only man that prays. God prays too. Because God has a need and God has a purpose. But because I don't want to go into a boisterous theology tonight, at least you know that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane.
And you also know in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, that God said, Jesus is making intercession for us now. And Jesus is God. So I will stop there. I would have gone deeper to show you what happens in the throne room. But I'll be distracted. But I came tonight to teach us on the subject of sonship because we came to answer God's prayer. God has an agenda for Kenya. And on his son's rise, that agenda can be fulfilled. So while God is providing the needs of children in Kenya, God is praying for sons to emerge. Because the kingdom cannot advance until sons arrive in Kenya. And so in the kingdom and in a conference like this, we want to examine the articles of the kingdom that make for a son. You become a child of God when you receive eternal life. That's all it takes to become a child. Because you have to be born with God's DNA. And so in John chapter 1 from verse 11, the Bible said he came into the world, although the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He said he came unto his own. His own received him not. He said, but as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. He said these ones were not born by the will of the flesh, nor of man. So this is not a blood thing. This is not a sense thing. This is a spirit thing. You are born with the DNA of God. You see, as many as are born, because you've got to be born to become the child of God. But when you become a child, that's where the journey begins from. As a child, God provides your need. As a child, God protects you. But as a son, God draws you deep because he wants to show you what he wants you and him to participate in before the foundation of the world. So tell somebody you are welcome to Sonship Conference. There are three things I'll be dealing with in this conference. Number one is what it makes to become a son. Because you don't become a son because you are a Christian for 30 years. If they reveal to us our state in the spirit, you'll be amazed that there are some baby Christians that have been Christians for 35 years. Have you seen people in the natural that at the age of 30 and 35, when you meet them, they'll say, my mommy won't accept. Even when they are married, they are talking my mommy. So they are old, but they are wearing pampers. They are Christians like they are 35 years in the Lord, but they are children. Because they were not taught what sonship is. Sonship is not a function of time. You don't become a son by being in the kingdom for long. Sonship is not a product of titles. You can be a prophet and be a baby. You can be an apostle by nomenclature, but in the spirit you are a baby. You can be a popular evangelist, but in the spirit you are a baby. Because what it makes for sonship is definite. And until those things begin to happen in your life, you can never become a son. And so in a conference like this, we want to find out what are the spiritual provisions that makes you a son. Meanwhile, sonship is not gender sensitive. So a girl is a son, a boy is a son in the kingdom. Because when he said, let us make man, the word is not male. Because after he said it, he now said male and female, he made both. So man is male and female. Son is male and female, it's not boy or girl. Sonship has to do with maturity in the kingdom. And there are a few things that have been made available for us to grow into maturity. And if I'm able to outline that tonight, which is the first thing I want to do, I will now go a bit deeper to show us the two dimensions of the expression of sonship. Because when you become a son, there are two corridors by which your life will be defined. The first is priesthood. The second is kingship. That's why priesthood and kingship is not a ministry office. You can be given the office of an apostle by calling. You can be given the office of a prophet. You can be called into the office of an evangelist. But priesthood is maturity. It's not an office that you enter. It is one thing that God expects every son to walk in. Kingship is not an office given to a few. Kingship is something God expects all of us to walk in. So when a man becomes a son, the two ways we know is by his priesthood responsibility and by his kingship responsibility. So if I'm able to show the articles that makes for sonship tonight, I will now step into priesthood legislation. If I'm able to go into priesthood legislation, then we will speak about Kenya. Because I will need a scepter to talk. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Before I go forward tonight, I align with the utterances of the patriarchs, the fathers over this land. I align with their priesthood. I align with their offices, that I will have clearance to utter some things.
I'm seeking clearance in the spirit to say some things. And so I align myself with the government of the fathers, the priesthood of the fathers, the prophecies of the fathers, because they have entreated God in the secret place, and they are trusting God that something will happen in Kenya. And for those things to happen, you must hear truth. You cannot be pampered into divine ordinances. You have to be taught truth the way it is. And sometimes it will require chastisement. That's why we say the truth the way we say them. Not because we want to sound derogatory. But a generation is asleep and they say, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. He says, sound an alarm upon his holy mountain. The inhabitants of the land must wake up. There are too many children. We have too many children in the body of Christ. 200,000 people gather. The whole meeting is about healing. Nobody's asking, what is God doing in the economy? How can we send men to the economy who will stand without compromise? Men who will say, if I perish, I perish. Where will such men rise again? Because when we read the chronicles of the fathers, they said three Hebrew boys were to be cast into the lake of fire. And they said, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. Where are the men that can go through the fire for Jesus? How can 50,000 people gather? It's all about word of knowledge. You'll be blessed. You'll be this. There's nothing wrong with it, but it means we are children. The day has come when we gather like this, we will represent different constituencies in the spirit. And so a few of you will rise up and say, I have been bribery in the police force. We will stop it. Some people will rise up and say the economy is in darkness. We will cast the prince backward. Some people will stand up and say, the altar in Kenya is desecrated. We want to raise a priesthood to shut fake priests from the altar. Men that can bear the responsibility of God. Because the moment sonship comes, kingdom is released. He said, unto us a child is born. But unto us a son is given. He said, the government of this world will be upon his shoulder. You can't find government until sons come. That's why God prays. Because for the government of God to find expression, sons must arise. And Kenya is ripe for the move of God. Kenya is ripe. The Lord told me, he said, the nation of Kenya is the nation of the evangelist. The men that will carry the flag of Zion from city to city, from continent to continent. But if they don't rise as sons, what will they do when they see dollars? Do you know what it means to be an evangelist? What if God sent 30 of you and say, go and colonize America? What if God tells you that morality has collapsed in America? I want 30 of you, and you have not yet risen. And then you see $10,000, you change your confession. That's why sons must rise. What if God say, I want to change the government, and he raised 3 of you, and they hand power to you? Can you stand the beast that sits in that throne? That's why sons must rise. When God prays, it's because the kingdom of God must find expression. And it is looking for the man that will be summoned into the league of the immortals to look upon hallowed things. And on the strength of the immortal things they touch, they can say no to anything on earth. Elohim Adonai. You don't know what I just did now. I just commissioned 3 evangelists. We are not teachers. We come to declare the oracles of God and to open the government of Zion over a people. Every one of you here implicated for the evangelical dimension, I speak that grace into your life. The hand of God is mighty upon them. The hand of God. The hand of God. Evangelists that are brilliant in power. Evangelists that are field marshals. When they enter the mission field, the powers of God, the eternal dynasties of his kingdom, begins to flow like a river. Because out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
You may not even be educated enough, but it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. And so I bring you that commissioning. When sons don't emerge, kingdom is stunted. Because kingdom is not a product of diplomacy. You say thy kingdom come. It's a testimony of war. And only warriors can advance kingdom. Sit down. You may be young, but when those powers begin to move on you, your age will not be a factor. You may be a woman. You may be a man. You may be despised. Ordination is an immortal substance. It has no regard for pedigree. It has no regard for the stratification that men carry out in time. It's an immortal finger. That's why David said, by my God, I ran through a troop. By my God, I leaped over a wall. He said, by my arm, I broke a bowl of steel. At the age of 17, he tore a lion apart. Because it's not age sensitive. It's ordination sensitive. We are the warriors that we rise from Kenya to colonize the nations of the earth. South America is in darkness. And God is trusting that evangelists will rise from Kenya. How many of you can enter Peru? How many of you can enter Brazil? How many of you can enter Argentina? And when you cry, the flag of that nation will bow to the cross. It's beyond your country. There's an ordination over your nation. That from among you, the purest tribe of global evangelists will rise. But sons will have to emerge. Elohim, Elohim, Adonai. Sit down. Let me share the word of the Lord. Let me share the word of the Lord. There are four things that makes for sonship in this kingdom. When you receive eternal life, you become a child. Eternal life gives you the right to become a heir. But beyond that right, there's an organic protocol that is set up in your spirit when you truly receive eternal life. It's called the law of the spirit of life. The operation of the law of the spirit of life is the first thing that makes a man a son in this kingdom. In Romans chapter 8 from verse 2, Paul was talking about his calamity, his struggle with the flesh. He wanted to serve the will of God, but he couldn't. Because as a child, he had access to all that God had to offer, but he was still a slave of his flesh. And so everything he did could not provide results. So he called himself a wretched man. So a man can have a black jeep, but he's a wretched man. Because until you break the power of corruption that is in your territory, you are a wretched man. No matter what you have in a civilization, if that civilization can still dictate for your emotion, you are a wretched man. So Paul saw that there was a struggle. He couldn't break out of the forces that rule the territory where he dwells. Today in Kenya, there are many young people that are bound by immorality. There are many young people that are bound by the spirit of violence. So they kill themselves, they fight themselves, and you can't find peace. They are territorial spirits that shut down the destiny of men by dictating for their emotion. When you receive eternal life, the first thing eternal life seeks to do is to break you out of those powers. Because it's not enough for you to come out of Egypt. Egypt had to come out of you. Because there are many people that they have been saved into the kingdom, but they came into the kingdom with the world. They were drug addicts. They were fornicators. And so when they came into church, they learned church language. They speak church language and they dress like church people. But the word is still in their heart. They will never become sons in this kingdom. Because you will find them at their best when they are alone. And most times when they are alone, it is the powers of flesh that dictates for them. And Paul was in that quagmire. Until a point came, Paul said, the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus have set me free. The word is eleutero. Eleutero means to break you out of the powers of territories, to break you out of the influence and the governing spirit that moderates the affairs of your locality. He said, the law, the only way I broke out of those powers is by the law of the spirit of life. So the reason Paul quoted in Romans 8:19 that the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The word is deliverance. Deliverance was used in verse 19. Is the same word, Eleutero. If the law of the spirit of life have not set you free, you can never bring deliverance to eternity. So the sons that bring deliverance to eternity are the people that the law of the spirit of life have set free. Because the word set free in Romans 8:2 is the word Eleutero. The word delivered in Romans 8:19 is the word Eleutero. So in that deliverance place, that he went to verse 19 and said, the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the sons of God are men that have yielded to the movements of the law of life, and that law has broken them free. This is not theology. This is not church life. This is not church activity. This is an intrinsic operation that is in your spirit man. And so most of you here discover that when you gave your heart to Christ, sometimes you want to eat food. It's like a sin. Not because your pastor said to fast that day, is the law of the spirit of life at work. You gave your heart to Christ and there is a place you used to go to, and you now go there. It's not a sin to go there. Some of you are even Chelsea fans. And then you go to watch Chelsea match and the law of the spirit of life begins to rage. There's turbulence in your spirit. What is wrong with watching Chelsea? Nothing is wrong. But sonship is in contention. Because the power of your ordination, the level of distraction that Chelsea brings into your soul, it cannot allow ordination to speak. Another Christian can watch Chelsea, but for you, when the law of the spirit of life begins to walk, watching Chelsea becomes a sin. That was why I stopped supporting Arsenal. So you don't understand. You can't be a son until you begin to traffic based on that law that is in your spirit. But there are many people who have been Christians for 30 years. They have never obeyed those movements. That's why they can never be sons. And so anger in the territory still hold them bound. Immorality in the territory still hold them bound. Lust in the territory still hold them bound. And they are going from one prophet to another apostle, thinking that by laying hands on them, they will be delivered. At best, when we lay hands on you, we will activate those powers. It is your yielding to those governments within you that will make you have the power to bring government to your territory. Because you cannot exercise authority unless you are under authority. The first authority that you will be introduced to is the authority of the law of life. That life that came into your spirit, it didn't just come to make you a child. It came to make you a son. And the way he will make you a son, he will excavate Egypt out of your spirit. And so the things that prompt you to go the word way, it will fight it. The more you yield to it, the more you become stronger. And the day will come, you will discover that operation is leading you somewhere. If you follow it long enough, at the end of that ladder, you will see the Son of Man standing. And then he will welcome you to the League of Sons. Because if those things don't happen, sometimes God may want you to bring government at night, but your flesh has overpowered you with sleep. So when that law begins to speak, the things it will break out of you are the things that will weaken you as touching for fulfilling your ordination. This is not church activity. This is life in the spirit. When you find sons, they master it. Sometimes they want to go out of their house, and that life say, don't go out. And they don't know for how long. They will go back into their room. And they will be there sometimes for 7 days. And they will not see a vision. They will not see an angel. But this thing happening to them is stronger than an angel appearing. Because they know this one is the government of Christ finding expression through them. If you don't yield to those operations of the spirit, you will be weak all the days of your life. They can make you an elder in church, a baby. Because what gives you power in the realm of God? What gives you power to speak and your territory will respond is on your inside. That's why I say when your own obedience is complete, that's when you can fulfill other disobedience. If you don't obey these promptings of the spirit, you can't go far. Sons, they follow the movement of life. The first thing that makes you a son is the degree to which you align to those promptings. Sometimes all you have is what is in your account, and then you are passing somewhere and you just feel like giving it all to an orphanage. It's not the Holy Ghost talking to you. is life flowing. Because what life wants to achieve is to open the gate of compassion. The reason is because the anointing God will put upon your life will flow by compassion. If you like, go to Bible school and read everything about the anointing. That anointing will not manifest until you allow the gate of compassion to open. And when life dictates that you are a stingy man, the point of your life where that thing will begin to function will be around that stinginess. It will break you until every iota of stinginess breaks open. Then compassion will flow like a river. The moment compassion begins to flow, you don't need any impartation. The anointing will come out. Because that anointing will flow through the gangway of compassion. When you find sons, they are regimented beings. There is something happening on their inside. They are more sensitive to it than everything happening around them. It's a world of its own. How many of you have mastered the movement of life? How many of us have mastered it? You are with your wife. Your wife offends you. You know she's wrong. You say sorry. You now say no. In Kenya, men don't apologize. You will be a baby for the rest of your life. That thing wants to fight is your pride. It has nothing to do with your wife. Because there's a pride element in you that will make the princes to always push you down. You have fasted for 40 days, and when you come into the room of thrones where they fight by spiritual legalities, they will point at your pride. That this pride cannot allow God to invest authority in you, because the authority of God functions in brokenness. And so that law has dictated that in you are pride hinged with a lot of garment. And when he wants to break it, he uses your wife. And he says, apologize. You say, no, we don't apologize. We are Maasai warriors. We kill lions. You will kill lions in the bush, but demons will knock you every day. Can I talk to you? It's called the law of the spirit of life. This is what brings true Christianity to you. It will break you. It will chisel you. And when it chisels you, your testimony will become like Jesus. The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. They will discover that you are in Kenya, but you are no longer a Kenyan. Because the things that limit Kenyans, there is something on your inside that have delivered you from it. You have become a son of another kingdom. Before that law came, you were a son of the land, and you were proud of it. I'm a son of the land. But when that law comes, it will denature you like Abraham. Get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. I will take you to another land. You will come into another family, and a new sonship will be conferred upon you. A sonship that flows from the life that powers Christ himself. That's why he said he is the first amongst many brethren. The same life by which he lives, that life regulates you. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, this commandment have I learned from my father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. That's the law of the spirit of life. When a man begins to live by that law, he becomes invincible to his territory. That's why Jesus said, as the wind bloweth, he said, thou listest not from whence it goeth or where it cometh. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. Because there is a law of life that now regulates them. They may say, 30 men in Kenya, when they look at a tall, fair lady, they can't hold themselves. You will pass and see 1,000, you will not be moved. Because you have died on the inside. They say, Kenyans are proud. When you show up, you will become as meek as Pastor Charles. When I saw Pastor Charles, I said, what kind of humility is this? I'm like, he didn't inherit this one from somebody, or is he the Holy Ghost at work? You become so meek. And when they try to get you, they can't find you. You become invincible, because life will make you invincible. When those things begin to happen, the signature of sonship will be conferred on you. The second thing that makes us a son is by spiritual beholding. When you become a son, the oracles of God will become plain to you. You don't only hear the word of God, you also see the word of God. That's why we say they are revealed. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, he said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whom Christ was evidently manifested before you, crucified. So the word of God comes to you as a picture. And so when a man becomes a son, one thing he does is that he contemplates the word. He looks at the portrait of the word of God until he finds Jesus in it. And so it is what Jesus is like that he becomes. The reason is because in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, we all with open faces, beholding as the image of us as the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that image from glory to glory. The word forces. When you are not metamorphosed, you will be trying to make decisions that you don't have the capacity to carry out in your current state. When you see a butterfly, it begins as an egg, but that butterfly has a potential of flying with wings. No matter the decision the egg makes, it can never fly. Until wings grow, there will be no flight. When wings grow, if the butterfly doesn't pray, it will still fly. So what metamorphosis does is that it takes you from your humanity to your divinity. Because there is a divinity in every one of us. But the only way you can activate that divinity is when you look upon Christ the divine. So when a man wants to grow into sonship, Jesus comes to him as pictures. The word of the Lord comes to him as pictures. So he begins to contemplate it. You may come to church and they say, for God so loved the world, you heard it. But when you now go out, you will see a beggar. And that scripture will now come, for God so loved the world. And for God so loved the world, will become a picture of you emptying your money for that beggar. That one is called contemplation. The world becomes pictures to you. When you begin to look at those pictures and begin to align your heart, a point will come, you become groom. You become a son. Because when they find you, you will not look like your father in the Lord. You will look like Jesus Christ. And so as good as your father in the Lord is, any area that is not like Christ, you will not be like him. Do you know why our generation become weaker and weaker? We inherit both the good and the bad from the ancestors. Because we don't know Jesus. When we know Jesus, we become better versions of our fathers. We honor them for their labors and even their mistakes. We honor them, but we don't copy it. Because we are not just seeing them, we are seeing the portrait of Christ. If you don't see Jesus, a point will come, you become like a man. You will not become like Jesus Christ. Because we all, with open faces, beholding us in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. That's why sometimes you hear a message, you leave a conference, one statement will travel with you. One statement. The man preached for 2 hours, but it's only one word that left with you. You go to sleep, you are rolling on your bed. That word will be a picture on your face. I am here. I am here. I went for a prayer meeting. That was like 10 years ago. I was a big boy. You know, when you graduate from the university, you think the world is waiting for you. You think the reason things are going wrong is because you have not come. The world is, now that you have come, all is well. I thought I was the solution the world was looking for. And I came for prayer meeting, and God's servant preached a message about waiting for your season. And when I was going home, the word of the Lord came to me. And he called the lady I was dating and said, leave her. You will see my power in your life. I started rebuking the devil because from all my theology, I didn't read any verse of the Bible that says you will leave a lady to have power. I had already imagined what my children would look like. You now come to say, this is, I bind that demon. And the world didn't fight. Any day I become high in the spirit, it will come again. Leave. Leave. It was a picture. I couldn't turn away from it. The reason is because your spirit man is like an eye. It was designed that way to see the Lord. And so when a man wants to become a son, as scriptures come to him and he beholds it, he must be transformed into those scriptures. So a point will come when you see him, you will not know him after the flesh. He will become a dimension of the kinds of scripture that comes to him. That's why he said, when we shall see him, in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, he said, we shall be like him. Because what it does is that it changes you, it transforms you. So sons don't look like men. Sons look like different dimensions of Christ. Because their life become a summary of the kind of scripture that come to them. So you will see some sons, they are weapons of healing. Because the scriptures that minister to them are healing scripture. So every time a healing scripture rises, it appears like this. A point will come, their whole life will take that shape. There are certain sons that when they manifest, they are like the oracles of God. The secrets of God keeps appearing to them. So even when they say good morning, they say it by a mystery. You will now know men after the dimensions they represent. The reason is because that's what they see day and night. When people cannot mirror dimensions of Christ, it means they don't see him. They see other men, they follow other men. And as beautiful as it is, they can never become sons. Because you become son when the dimension of Christ becomes your expression. So the second thing that makes you a son is that you culture your spirit man to constantly behold the world. If the world don't come to you, you will now go to the world. Because sometimes you may enter a season of drought and no word is coming to you. You go and carry the scripture and begin to meditate on it for yourself. That's why Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, he said, until I come. Just in case the word have not come. Just in case the apostle have not come. He said, you give attendance to reading, to exhortation and to doctrine. He said, give thyself wholly to these things that your profiting may be made manifest to all. I can assure you, the reason many people never grow is because they don't carry words in their spirit. But when you see sons, every day of their life, there is a word they carry in their spirit. They are looking at it like a mirror. And so he said, when we see it, is the perfect law of liberty. It sets you free into your ordination. How many words are you pregnant with? Sonship is not just, I attended a conference. Sonship is to be impregnated with words until those words become your reality. You carry them every day and you are looking at them. I read about Billy Graham. Every morning, apart from his normal Bible study, he reads 3 Psalms and 1 Proverbs. And he maintained that routine for over 40 years. For such a man, even when he's sleeping, there's a word. The moment he wakes up with a word. As he's going out with a word. You are talking to him, there's a word in his spirit. That man cannot but become a son. Because when you see him, you become like him. I'm telling you why many are not sons. Sometimes even we, the apostles, become a big distraction. We paint ourselves before people and we become so big that they can't see Jesus anymore. They are trying to look at Jesus, they can't find Jesus. We block every aspect. Sonship is responsibility. Number one, you will give yourself to the motions of life. Number two, you will commit yourself to beholding the world every day as in a glass until you are changed. Number three, you must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many as are born. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. When you find a son, he becomes so pliable to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Ghost becomes a government over his soul. That's why the first requirement of sonship is that you cease to have an opinion and you cease to have a position in any matter. It's only the position of the Holy Ghost that is your position. That's why I never stand up to say, this person did this thing, I will never do this again. Because the day you say you will never do this again, that's the day the Holy Ghost will say, begin to do this now. You find sons, they don't have opinions on any matter. If something is happening and God has not spoken, they are quiet. They are not under pressure to come and speak so that you say they are the reigning voices. They don't have a voice. They only amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit. They are that yielded to the Holy Spirit. I met a man called Sadhu Sundarsal Baraj. We went for a conference. We were waiting for the man and the man wouldn't come out of the room. Why? He said he waited on the Lord from India, helped the brother. God didn't speak to him. He came for the conference and since he came, God have not yet spoken. I say, God have not spoken. Carry your Bible and check. Check what is the theme of the conference. Please help the brother. God have not spoken. Check the theme of the conference and look for verses. See, God is dealing with people. We are hearing at different depth. Some people are hearing from the point of disobedience. So it's coming to them as an ass. It's chiseling them. Well, don't worry. I will soon come to your depth. Maybe I've not reached your depth. That's why you are waiting for the word of the Lord. You know? Sadhu Savara. I say, so what will your host do? I now discover that they say handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. So when you don't have the word of the Lord, they can send your handkerchief. I don't have the word. You traveled all the way from India. You caught a flight. You came to Lagos only to tell us God have not spoken. And the man didn't come out in the morning. We prayed and went home. When we came back for evening session, we were not praying for God to speak to him. We were not praying for God to talk to us again. Lord, please speak to this man. Some of us traveled from far. And when the man came out in the evening, he said, Isaiah was talking to me in my room. I knelt down immediately and said, Lord, help me. What do you mean? It was later on I understood some mysteries in priesthood. And I will teach you this evening. He said, Isaiah was talking to me. And Isaiah came to give me the scroll of Nigeria. And so when such a man is talking, even if he's singing, it will happen. If he sits down, it will happen. If he shouts, it will happen. The reason is because he's not talking, he's reading from his scroll. That's his son. If you study about the prophets of old, sometimes they went to the mountain for 40 days just to bring one message to a people. They didn't come because they have read the book. They came because God has spoken to them. These are sons. They have understood how the Holy Ghost works. So they have the capacity to wait on the Holy Spirit. That's why I say, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. These are the ones that can bring government to a people. Sometimes when you start doing ministry and you have been in ministry for 5 years, your experience will now take the place of the Holy Spirit. That's why people stay in the kingdom and they become weaker and weaker, because they replace the Holy Ghost with strategies. They replace the Holy Ghost with experience. They replace the Holy Ghost with gimmicks. And because we are doing it and things are happening, it doesn't mean you are growing in the realm of light. Because you can come for a meeting, people will fall down. It doesn't mean God is there. Even Michael Jackson came for meetings and people fell down. What is the word of the Lord in your spirit? If we took a census now and say, what is God saying about Kenya? Now, how many of you know? It means sons are few. There are many children in church, but sons are what? Are few. The ones yielded to the Holy Ghost, he's talking to them. They know the burdens of the Father. And so every time they come out with burdens. They come out with words, because they have the oracles of God's Spirit for a generation. The third thing that make men sons is the degree of their yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing that makes men sons is the chastening of the Lord. The chastening. When you are a baby, God will pamper you. You will see, you will go and cry. Oh God. Oh God. I'm sorry. He will now say, it is well, my daughter. The moment your tears dry up, you will be excited. You will go back, and after 3 months, you will repeat the same thing. God will still come and say, it's well. You will be a child for 90 years. When you become a son, there are certain things you will do, and God will judge you. That's when you understand that there is forgiveness of sins, but when it comes to kingdom legislation, there is the chastening of the Lord. You can come for a meeting, you utter something that you are not supposed to utter. God will not tell you for the next 3 months, don't preach anymore. Meanwhile, you have programmed yourself that you will receive this honorarium in this, and handle this project. You will go back and learn how to drink garri without sugar. Your suit will become old. No money will come from anywhere. You will say some things, or you will act in a certain way on the altar. God will now say, don't upload your messages online. I preached for 1 year and God refused me from taking my honorarium, my own honorarium. Why? What is wrong with taking your honorarium? I was the one honored. I gathered the money and took to my Father and the Lord. Is it the doctrine? No. It's the chastening of the Lord. He has seen that there is somewhere in my heart that I'm motivated by honorarium. So since you love honorarium, for the next 1 year, don't take. And when God is chastening a son, he doesn't show mercy. He will crush you until everything that will limit you in the day of your glory is taken out of your life. Because what God is doing with you is not about now. There is a day when God will make you speak and Kenya will stand still. But before you get to that day, he will need to chisel the things that the prince of this world will come for. And so when God wants to raise some, he chastens them. That's why the Bible said, if we are not chastened of the Lord, are we not bastards? He said, if we are sons, then we must be chastened of the Lord. There are many times when God will punish you, and you will know that this is the hand of God upon you. You will beg, it won't stop. Did you read about Moses? He brought Moses to the realm of glory, and he warned Moses, here people don't sin. There is a realm where people see, we forgive them. Here, people don't sin. Because you are walking among immortals. If you sin here, we will judge you. Go and check. Lucifer sinned here, he fell forever. Don't sin here. If you sin here, there are laws. And when he told Moses, speak to the rock, Moses struck the rock. Immediately he said, you have not sanctified me by the waters of Meribah. He said, you will see the promised land, you will not enter. Moses begged God and he told him, don't pray to me. What kind of thing? That's sonship. It's the chastening of the Lord. And when Moses begged God, a point came, God said, go to the mountains of Nebo in the mountain of Abarim. He said, die there. So God leads men to die. Yes. Die there. So when God wants to build you into sonship, the first thing he does is that he warns you of his vengeance. And tells you, there is a realm where you will see my justice. There is a realm where you will see my terror. There is a realm where you will see my judgment. That's why Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we want men to repent. The powers that change nations are not of the mouth of babes. It is men that understand the ordinances of God. And that's why God can give them that level of power. He will warn you. And he will chasten you. We are a generation that run away from the chastening of the Lord. Because every time we came to God, we only heard good things. We were not taught the patriarchs, how they walked on earth. That some of them were denied. Jonah, he told him, go to Nineveh and warn the people. Jonah went on a journey of his own devising. It was in the belly of a whale that he was brought back. He was there for 3 days. He died and he went to hell. Jonah said, I prayed to God from the belly of Hades. That was where God allowed him to see the torment of hell. Because of one disobedience, God allowed him to go to hell. He felt the torment of Hades. It was in Hades he cried from that God delivered him. Because of the rank of sonship. When a man does not grow into sonship, he cannot understand the business of kingdom. He will think God is a joker. That he can come to every morning and say, I'm sorry. There's a realm where they don't hear I'm sorry. There's a realm where every iniquity is adequately recompensed. There's a realm where you will offend God and God will withdraw your voice for 3 years. You will be preaching the same message you are preaching. Nobody will hear you. In 3 years, he will chisel your heart. It's when your heart is aligned that he will bring back your voice. And suddenly they'll start hearing you. And if you don't align with him, your voice will never come back. Have you not gone online before? Somebody has 4 million followers. He puts a video, only 25 people watch. The people are still there, but the voice has been withdrawn. Because people don't hear you because they like you. They hear you because God turned that from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Help the brother under the anointing. If Kenya will be delivered, then sons must rise. Men that have known the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes God will tell you, give your 1 year salary to the poor. And then you are asking, so how will I eat? It's the corridor of sonship. Maybe for you, he wants to teach you trust. Because you believe so much in yourself. When you come to a place, even your fingernails, there's a way they cut it. Don't touch my fingers. You are like an egg. It will allow you to go through the gutter. It's in the gutter you understand that for the kingdom's sake, you can bait with mud. Those are the kind of men that say, if I perish, I perish. They have understood the chastening of the Lord. You are careful of your suit. When you come back, don't touch this suit. God will take you to a place where you will wear rags for 3 years. A point will now come when you wear the suit, you know that the glory is not the suit. It's the God that sits on you that is the glory. It's called sonship. The chastening of the Lord. So you must yield to the movement of life in your spirit. You must behold him until you are changed. You must yield to the Holy Spirit and you must suffer the chastening of the Lord. Because there are too many garbage of flesh that we carry. Some of us carry arrogance. Some of us carry pride. Some of us carry anger. The Lord will insist that those things are chiseled. Because your anger can rob a generation. The kind of power God wants to bring you into, he can't afford to allow the anger. So you wake up one day and stand up and say, because they dishonor me in Kenya, that thing will work. You use your mouth to lock the gate of Kenya. You don't know you have that power. but God, your anger was not dealt with. And so if God knows that you can destroy the faith of Kenya, he will keep you at one level for 20 years. I saw a man, he came for a meeting and he said, Benue have offended him. And so for 46 years, he didn't want Benue to go anywhere. I said, Jesus Christ. Because you are offended, you shut the whole state down. Have you not seen men before that see young people rising? They say, this one dishonor me, he won't go anywhere. How about the kingdom that person will advance? Do you know how many souls this one will win? But his anger is bigger. His pride is bigger than the kingdom. The kingdom is too small compared to his pride. So he can decide to shut down the destiny of 1 million people because of his honor. That's why sons are scarce. Because men have not been chasing of the Lord. Did you read about Abraham and Noah? Noah offended Abraham 3 times. But when Noah was in problem, Abraham took his whole household and put his life at risk to save Noah. When God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, it was Abraham that still dared to argue with God to save Lot. What did Lot do for him? He took Lot. Lot prospered by Abraham. Lot became so big and said, no, we can't live together. Huh? But there was fatherhood here, because the man is a son. It didn't bother what Lot did to him. He was interested in the kingdom. He was interested in the dominion of God. He was interested in the dynasty of Elohim. Why do you think many nations are struggling? Some nations are not struggling because the demon is strong. It's because the men in authority have used their authority to lock those nations. Maybe because somebody offended them. But when sons rise, God would have chastened us too much to be conscious of ourselves. So even though you are dishonored, there is something in you called forbearance. There's something in you called long-suffering. Even though you are cheated, there's something in you called temperance. And for the sake of the kingdom, you can bear the reproach of God. That's why the Bible says we should bear his reproach. Outside the camp, we can bear the reproach. We have become sons. We can't bring kingdom to any territory unless we become sons. Many don't have scars. When God comes with fire, they run. That's why our kingdom is, our nations are struggling. But I tell you, in this conference, most of you will go back to the school of the process. That place where God began to deal with you that you ran from. That place you ran from. Receive grace to go back and take those lessons. Because Kenya depends on you. The rise of the move of God in this land, it depends on you. Make no mistakes about it. No apostle can come from anywhere to make your nation come alive. We can only come to show you the oracles of God. But until you pay the price, nothing can happen in Kenya. It is the sons of Kenya that will bring revival to Kenya. The Lord depends on you. The pride, the arrogance, the bitterness. It's time to put it at the altar. And say, Lord, for the kingdom. For the kingdom. For the kingdom. I know he offended me, but for the kingdom. I know he lied against me, but for the kingdom. I know he sinned against me, but for the kingdom. God has tampered enough with me to be able to bear the reproach. Because sons bear the reproach of their father. Sons bear the reproach of the kingdom. Channels of my spirit, open up. I am with the Father. Open up. No boundaries, no limits. Open up. Let it call unto thee. Open up. Sit down, sit down. I want to teach. I want to teach some things. I was sharing with Prophet in the room a moment ago. Sometimes you come to a nation and God labors to raise 2 people and he puts his authority on them. And the whole generation begins to look up to them. And God wants to use them to establish a new order. And then somewhere, politics come in. Somewhere, appetite come in. And these people, on the strength of their personal appetite, they decide to break up. And the one in Camp A tells them not to relate with the one in Camp B. He paints the man of Camp B black. And the man of Camp B paints the man of Camp A black. And so a point comes, you come back to that nation in 10 years. All the dimensions that both of them carry begin to go down. Because the people in this camp that should receive this grace, they now dishonor it because they are trying to please the person they are following. And the people in this camp dishonor this one. And the graces that they carry that should collectively come together to engender deliverance begin to diminish. And 5 years later, you come, the stage is lost. And that's not all. Because the man of camp A mentors his followers to dishonor the leader of camp B. He doesn't know that he has taught them rebellion. A point comes, even in their own ranks, they begin to break ranks. Because if you are able to talk against a father because he's in another camp, is it your immediate leader you will honor? And so we use our hands to destroy the heritage of God. We have not been tampered with enough. Sons bear the reproach of the kingdom. They bear the reproach of their father. For the sake of the kingdom, they can enjoy it. And men will rise in Kenya that can say, because of the kingdom, I'm ready to take the blame. It's not about who is right or wrong. It's about what God wants to do. And listen to this. There are some men that preach the move of God from the altar. There are some men that endure pain for the move of God to happen. The ones who are not known, they are the stronger ones. Anybody can be an apostle preaching revival. Anybody can be anointed. But very few can take the blame. Very few can bear the pain for what God wants to do to happen. There are certain men that will never be known. They will kneel down and pray revival. You will never celebrate them. You will never know them. But God has told them for revival to happen, there is a prayer quorum that must come alive. They will sacrifice fame. Those are sons. For kingdom to find expression, sons must arise. And I tell you, this conference will not be over until sons indeed emerge. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You come to a nation with so much heritage, but you can't find God. Because Apostle A told all his followers that Apostle B is the devil. And he plants rebellion in their hearts. Apostle C tells his followers that Apostle A is a devil because of personal sentiment. And after a while, the head of God is truncated. Our generation will not be caught in that sphere. We will not be caught in it. We will fight for unity. We will fight for love. We will fight for mutual coexistence. We will forbear with one another. Because God needs sons. There's a scarcity of sons in the spirit. Men have not been tampered with. Their ego can make them shut down what God is doing. Their pride can make them shut down what God is doing. And they think they are profiting the kingdom, yet they are destroying it. When we grow into sonship, then two things begin to happen. We take the corridor of priesthood and we take the corridor of kingship. In the next 10 minutes, let me talk to you about priesthood legislation. Then I will change the atmosphere. I know these young people, it's energy they are waiting for. Energy, they want to feel something. You reign! You reign! You reign! You reign! Kadosh! You are mighty on your throne. When a conference like this is over, some of us need to carry our phones, call somebody and say, I'm sorry. And that's the day you become a true Christian. You will take your phone and call your brother and say, sorry, I fought you for 4 years. I fought you for 7 years. Forgive me. For the kingdom's sake. From that day, you become a Christian. All these ones we are doing is charade. And it will be the reason, one of the many reasons why the move of God can't come to Kenya. Because you shut the door. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He said, you travel land and sea to make one proselyte. He said, but after you have made one proselyte, that's a young believer, you make him twice the son of hell. You bring somebody, you teach him how to pray. You teach him how to fast. You teach him how to prophesy. When you are done teaching him that, then you now teach him bitterness, backbiting, and malice. He learns prayers, but he becomes more dark and wicked than he was when he didn't know Jesus. There's a great potential for Kenya, but sons must rise. Sons must rise. Sons must rise. And they are rising from among us tonight. When you become a son, yes, as a son, he can call you to be an apostle. As a son, he can call you to be a prophet. As a son, he can call you to be an evangelist. He can call you to be a pastor. He can call you to be a teacher. He can call you into government as a political leader. He can call you into the academia. He can call you into any sector. But there are two things you must do as a son. Those ones are beyond the calling. They are who you are. The first is priesthood. Priesthood, in its most basic sense, is the ability to stand in the gap between God and man. It's a man that insists that the purposes of God and the will of God must find expression. Everybody who truly becomes a son carries the burden of the Father. And one of the ways he prosecutes the burdens of God is to stand in the gap. When you study the life of Moses, you're going to see the most graphic expression of priesthood. Many times, God is angry. I will destroy these stiff-necked people. He said, far be it from you, Lord. Do you want the nations of the earth to hear that you deliver them from the hands of captivity to destroy them in the wilderness? Repent of this, Lord. That's a man talking to God. It's called priesthood. You come into the ecosystem of God. You now know what is in the heart of God. And you begin to help God prosecute it. Because men are stiff-necked. So the limitations of men, you take it upon yourself. And you intercede on their behalf for God. So sonship is the ability to walk the corridor of priesthood. And when a man begins to walk on the corridor of priesthood, there are four things he will find in legislation. Number one is that he will discover that in priesthood there are courtesies. Courtesies. Priesthood is not just praying in tongues. There's a generation of people praying, but they don't know the courtesy of the spiritual realm. When you come into priesthood, the first thing you will be taught are the courtesies of the presence. It's not everything you do in the presence of God. God is a king. There are many things that his presence does not tolerate. If you know the presence of God, you discover that the presence of God is the government of God. And for you to be able to bring change to your territory, you must master how to walk in God's presence. Because if God's presence does not come with you, your words are empty. And so priesthood will teach you the courtesy of the presence. Every spirit has a courtesy that governs the operation of their presence. The reason is because spirits are not men. When we leave this room, we are going to leave the environment and go to another environment. Spirits are not like that. Spirits travel with their environment. Their environment is a part of them. And because their environment is a part of them, they don't tolerate compromise in their environment. Because if you denature their environment, you denature their being. You can mess up in this room, we'll leave you in this room and go to another place. We leave this environment behind. It doesn't work like that with a spirit. A spirit carries his environment. That's why when God comes to a place, his presence comes there. And so when you want to do priesthood, it's something you must do in God's presence. So there are courtesies you must obey. The first courtesy of priesthood is the courtesy of reverence. Every son understands the honor of the father. When Moses came to maturity and God wanted him to deliver Israel and priesthood was about to begin, the first lesson God taught him was the lesson of reverence. He said Moses kept his father's sheep in Exodus chapter 3 verse 1 until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and he saw a bush burning that was not consumed, and he said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. And the moment he turned, God called him from the burning bush and said, Moses, take off thy sandals. He said, where you are standing is holy ground. If you don't understand the courtesy of honor and reverence for God, you can never be a priest. And if you are not a priest, then you have not grown into sonship. Because when you become a son, you must be a priest. Priesthood is God's plan from day one. He wanted to raise a nation of priests where everybody knows his heartbeat and live out his burdens. But the only way we can do that is when a nation becomes reverent to God. We have a generation where people are worshiping God and they are chewing bubble gum. We have a generation where people come into God's presence and they come haphazardly as if they are talking to their friends. They even show more reverence to their lecturers or their earthly authorities much more than God. And they are hoping that God will come to deliver their land. They don't know the God they are talking to. When you know him, you will discover that in his presence, men tremble. Everyone that ever came into his presence fell on his face to the ground. When Isaiah saw him, he went down. When Ezekiel saw him, he went down. When John saw him, he went down. When Daniel saw him, he went down. Nobody stands there. Even the 24 elders, the Bible said, when the presence of God appears, they cast their crown. They fall from their throne and they sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Our generation is a baby's generation because what we do around God's presence is a testimony that we are not yet mature. And so we can't carry out priesthood legislation. When courtesy is not taught to a generation, that generation will never see the power and the glory of God. Take off thy shoes. Where you are standing is holy ground. The first courtesy of the presence is the courtesy of reverence. When was the last time you knelt down in God's presence? When was the last time you sensed that the presence of God was in the place and you went on your face? When was the last time God spoke to you and you trembled? God spoke to you and you were terrified. God has become your mate. He has become your friend. That is why he can't deliver your family. Because your friend don't have the power to deliver your family. God has become your mate. That's why he doesn't have the power to deliver your nation. Because your mate, 1,000 of them, can't deliver Kenya. The only one who can deliver Kenya is the one that is so big that you dread. Because you have discerned his size. If we don't have courtesy in God's presence, our priesthood cannot change anything in the territory. When God truly wants to help a people, he exposes them to reverence and honor. The second thing about courtesy in priesthood is the courtesy of silence. You know, when you are a child, you think the more you talk, the more you make sense. When God shows up, you discover the more silent you are, the more powerful you become. Because you are not as powerful as you speak. You are as powerful as you are commanded. Because it's what it tells you that makes the change. So after you have prayed in tongues, you have to wait in case he has something to say. Because when he talks, it becomes a verdict. And so we have a generation of people who pray in tongues long, but they don't come with verdicts because they are never quiet in God's presence. Did you read about Jesus when he took Peter, John, and James to the mountain? And when Moses and Elijah were talking to him, suddenly Peter interrupted and said, Master, it's good for us to build a tent here. Build a tent where? Do you know what is happening there? The prophet and the law is submitting to the kingdom. You want to go back to the era of the law and the prophet? Who told you they are building tent? They are migrating. You are talking about tent. So people do priesthood. They say what they don't know. And that's why they go nowhere. When priests begin to arise, one thing we learn is that we learn the art of silence. Because the more quiet you become, the more the king can speak. Because he talks only to those who listen and obey. So when you begin to grow in priesthood, one of the courtesy you learn is not just speaking in tongues. See, today people are speaking in tongues. They carry their phone and check WhatsApp. They are speaking in tongues. They go on Facebook and check some of their views. They are speaking in tongues. They go on the live view. Even in church, while service is going on, you see, they are holding their phone. The view have grown from 200 to 350. They are in their prayer can't touch the ceiling. You are, do you know where you are summoned to? Do you know the creatures that come there? He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Do you know what it means when he calls him the living God? It means in his realm, men don't die. So what he's trying to tell you is that Moses is still there. Elijah is still there. John the Baptist is still there. Paul is still there. You came to an endless lineage of patriarchs. Who told you you can talk there? Do you know the men who have traveled before you that are there, who are quiet, waiting for the king to talk? And then you show up with the garbage of earth. You carry earth and its corruption. You bring it there. You think it's about who can speak in capital letter tongue. Who told you they hear capital letter tongues there? With distraction and garbage, flesh, and we desecrate the altar because we don't understand the courtesy of the presence. And that's why our priesthood can go nowhere. When sons emerge, they know the dignity of honor. And when they come before the Lord, they know how to prostrate before him. When such men begin to rise in Kenya, 5 of them is enough to shut this nation down. Because he doesn't need a crowd to change a nation. He showed us the principle from day one. He wanted to deliver Israel from Egypt. He sent Moses. One man is enough. One man. We are more than 1,000, but we can't make any impact because we don't know where the true powers dwell. Thank God for our gifts. Thank God for the manifestation of the Spirit. Those ones are there to address needs. The things that change a generation and a territory, they are matters of government and governance that come from the realm of God. And it will take a man who understands the courtesy of that realm to bring that government to earth. I told you, the things we want to consider are maturity issues. They are not just emotional things. And God will allow you to grow through it, to go through it and to learn it. Sometimes it begins with your immediate family. And then it graduates you to an institution where you are part of. Maybe a school. And then it graduates you to the territory. And then it's showing you. Did you read about Moses? When he was on the mountain for 40 days, what did the Bible say Moses say? He said nothing. Only God was talking. Moses was only writing. He sat at the mountain for 40 days. He was quiet. You will never hear Moses said this. Said what? God was speaking. He was writing. But when he came with those tablets became the foundation of human civilization. Till today, all the laws of the earth realm are from the laws of Moses. Are you learning something? Have you been to that place where you are praying in the spirit and you go high, and then suddenly the Holy Ghost shut your voice? You are talking. No, keep quiet. Keep quiet. The angels here, they are judgmental angels. Keep quiet. You can say something wrong. Have you been in a place of prayer? You say something you know you have heard. They say, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Elders are talking. Thrones are talking. The monarch himself is talking. Your job is to carry it and go and announce on earth. Don't talk here. It's priesthood. When sons rise, we master this thing. That's why when you see those who become truly mature, they become very quiet and calm. You can sense that calmness, not because they are acting like this. It becomes a disposition of their spirit. Their spirit is silenced. They don't talk much again. Because everything they say is the decree of God. So their words are few. Because at that level, even if God doesn't talk and you talk, it's a law. And so at that level, you don't even crack jokes. You can tell somebody you are crazy and he goes crazy. Because you are talking from an energy. Anything you say is a law. So God will teach you silence before he brings you into power. We talk too much. We say what God is not saying. We claim God is saying it and nothing happens at the end of the day. Elohim. I have 10 minutes. I want to teach you some mysteries so that we can apply it here. But I don't have time again. In priesthood legislation, the first thing you learn is what? Courtesy. And I've mentioned two. There are many, but find the other ones. Bible study is not to cram scriptures, it's to search truth. The second courtesy in priesthood legislation is rank. You don't change things because you talk. You change things because of the rank where you are talking from. Men are graded in ranking. That's why a man will say what another person said. Their results are different. Have you seen five people gather before praying around one mad person? And they are quoting all the scriptures they know, and the scriptures are right. But the madman remains mad because they can't bring government to that ecosystem. And another man shows up and he looks at the man and says, leave him. You will now think, okay, it's those holding him he's talking to. When you people leave him, you discover that it's not only you that left him, even the demons left. Because when they said, leave him, he's talking to both you and the demons. It's rank. It's not about scripture. Our generation, we come, we quote this one, we quote this one. We don't know that there is rank in priesthood. And there are things that make for spiritual ranking. Number one is transformation. The first thing that gives you rank in the spirit is the degree to which you take upon yourself the nature of God. And so in this kingdom, a man who is broken has more rank than a man who has revelation. Revelation can be mental. Brokenness is of the spirit. So brokenness in the spirit realm is louder than revelation. That's why you see this generation, a young preacher will stand up. He will be giving revelation. Nobody can sit down. When he finishes giving the revelation, he will pray for the sick. Few people will come out and say, I had pain on my back. It's gone. Another man will come and just say, God told me to do this, to do this, to do this, and I did it. He will now say, now, Father, you that led me in the dark, show yourself now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In your eyes like this, you will see two cripples stand up. He didn't quote any scripture. He came with rank. He came with rank. Because brokenness is a statement in that realm. So when a man wants to grow in rank in priesthood, the first thing that he must do is that he must submit himself to laws. Priests are beings that live by laws. They are broken beings. So when they come before God, their brokenness is a testimony in the spirit. That's why David said in Psalm 51 from verse 17, he said, a contrite heart and a broken spirit, thou shalt not despise. So when a broken man is talking, he can move heaven. You want to grow in your priesthood, it's beyond revelation. It's beyond how many hours you can speak in tongues. When you are speaking in tongues and making decrees, they will find out who is talking. They will check you out and find out how much of God do you carry. Do you look like God? Because the things you are speaking of, when God releases it, if you are not careful, it will make you godless. So one thing that confers authority in priesthood is the ability to carry more of the nature of God. So priests are beings of government. They are under the government of God until they keep growing and imbibing the nature of God. A priest is not just a man that makes declaration. It's a man that is first of all broken. It's a man that carries the nature of God. And his greatest weapon in the realm of God is his alignment. You don't have alignment, you will preach, you will pray. Sometimes when we even pray, the way we pray, the phrases we use, the English and the grammar, is too much for the demons to even hear what we are saying. So when we finish, just to tell the demon go, when we finish talking, the demon will say, excuse me sir, what do you mean? I'm willing to obey, but sir, what are, because of there is so much pride, we want to oppress those hearing us first. Let them know first that the person talking there is learned. And when we are doing those things, our arrogance, our pride is rising up as an offensive odor in where power dwells. And so we finish everything, nothing happens. Because nature is the first rank of a priest. When you show up in that realm, they will find out, what nature do you carry? How much of the Christ do you manifest? How much of him do you look like? Because you may come in the nature of a serpent and you are making decree for God's government. They know you are lying. It's your pride and ego you are trying to nurture. And so they can't release authority. The second rank of a priest, or what makes for rank in the realm of the priest, is your discernment of courts and court sessions. Priesthood is a legalistic exercise. If you don't understand the protocol of the courts of God, you can't bring legislation. There are certain times you are praying, the court you are appearing, they are dealing with family issues. They are dealing with divorce. If you start talking about prosperity there, they will kick you out. You are wrong. But that obsession was set up to deal with issues of divorce and family crisis. So when you come into a court session, you need discernment before you start talking. That's why God will first of all teach you silence. You don't just show up and because you sense an atmosphere, you start talking things. No. You need to discern which court have I appeared before. Is this a court dealing with nations? Before you can bring the issue of Kenya, there is a court you will enter. They are not talking about Kenya. They are talking about North America. It's a continental court. If you talk about a nation there, you are wrong. Because the legislation at that level has to do with continents. And so if you don't know what to do, you won't have the skill for negotiation. So in priesthood, one thing that will happen to you as you grow in rank is that you will learn ascension and you will learn discernment. Ascension is what will take you to court session, and discernment is what will teach you what. So when you are praying in tongues and you are still on earth, you are not a priest. That's why I told you, priesthood is beyond praying in tongues. Paul said, I know a man many years ago, he was carried to the third heavens. He went to the galactic courts of God. At that level, Paul could see what was happening in heaven, on earth, and in Hades. That was why Paul said, I heard words that were unlawful to be uttered among men. Because what Paul was listening to was not just a legislation about men. He had gone past the realm of earth. They were judging demons in that realm. They were judging angels in that realm. So it would be an error for you to talk about men at that level. Because that court is not just dealing with men. It's dealing with angels and demons. And Paul said the things I heard. He said it's unlawful to be uttered among men. John was carried to heaven. He said I heard the voice of the seven thunders. I wanted to write it. They said no, don't write it. This one is not for the churches. The one that is meant for the churches we have written. This one is for those who can come here. This place is an assembly. The reason is because, can I talk about this? I'm online. I wish it was a closed session. John was about to translate. Because listen, ministry does not end on earth. Earth is the training ground for ministry. True ministry begins when earth ends and men translate. Those who are prophets, hear this. Those who are prophets are not just called to give word of knowledge. A prophet is God's symbol and symbolism to a territory on the strength of righteousness. The manifestation of the prophetic office is to bring the righteous government of God to a people. And so when a man passes it as a genuine prophet, he is engrafted into the company of elders in the kingdom. Prophets are actually elders in the world to come, because issues of government and righteousness is allocated to prophets. Can I tell you about apostles? Apostles in the world to come are messengers. When the new world is created, some apostles will become angels to those worlds. And so what was happening to John was that John was about to be translated, not just to become an earthly apostle, but to become a celestial apostle. That was why when he finished in Revelation 19, he saw somebody who wanted to worship him. He thought that was an angel. He said, I'm not Jesus. I'm one of your brethren. The guy had graduated. So John was no longer an apostle. John had become a celestial messenger. In the world to come, he will be a messenger to that world. That was what was happening to John. He was being shifted. So what the seven thunder told him was not a message to the churches. It was a message to his spirit. Ministry does not end on earth. That's why when God calls you to priesthood, he's inviting you to something bigger than you. Did you not read about Moses? Jesus was about to die for man. And then Moses and Elijah came. And the Bible said they were telling him what he should do. How can men be telling God what to do to save men? Because these men were prophets. They had grown into elders in the world. So God had brought them into legislation about the fate of humankind. If you call those ones men, you are wrong, because they are no longer men, they are elders of heaven. So priesthood is beyond time. It's government and governance, and that governance transcends time. They came to tell Jesus what he must do in the cloud of glory. Those are not prophets. They had grown from prophets to elders. And there are many who will grow from apostles to messengers. Because the word apostle is the word apostolos. It means a sent one. And you are not only sent to men. A time comes when you graduate, God begins to send you to dispensations. And then you can travel from one dispensation to another dispensation, and you will bring the word of the Lord to them. I wish I can tell you the origin of Gabriel. And then you understand the apostolic ministry. In his full regalia, he's a sent one. And God does not send you only to one dispensation. A point will come, you will traverse many dispensations in God. They want to weigh you in the spirit. They will find out your rank. What is the height you talk from? And so John would not have congregation, but Jesus said, of all men that lived, there's none greater than John. Because greatness is not about how many followers. Do you know that the followers of John left him and followed Jesus? He said, but of all men that lived. He said, from the time of John, that means in the dispensation of mortals, there is a whole generation wielded to John. That man doesn't have a congregation, but he owns that generation. So when you read the books of God, you will open a chapter. When they call it the chapter of John, everybody that existed in that generation will be part of John. John becomes the progenitor of that generation. That's what priesthood does. And so when men begin to ascend into courts in heaven, they are coming to take inheritances and legislations. So a man can appear in a court and they will tell him, we have given Kenya to you. He doesn't need a church to be a great man in Kenya. He can sit in his room at night, and if he wakes up and say, I approve the governor, I approve the president, you will see that in 3 days the president will go down. Because that one is the owner of Kenya. You may think Kenya is a republic. Every nation belongs to men in the spirit. Oh, you don't know. Who told you? It's among men that they call them republic. In the spirit, nations belong to men. In the spirit. I wish I can tell you who owns Nigeria. He's not even a Nigerian. His name is Pa Elton. I'm online. I can't say some things. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's stop here. If I say some things now, it will be... there are too many babes. So when you talk spiritual things, instead of blessing them, they start fighting you. Because they don't ascend. They don't ascend. Come up here. There are some courts. See, you will come into some courts. And when you enter, you will hear they will be discussing the fate of Kenya. You will now sit down and listen. You will know why things are happening the way they're happening in Kenya. Because nothing happened on earth. Everything happening on earth is a product of judgments and legislation. And so when a priest wants to grow, he must ascend into courts. There are many courts in heaven. There are certain courts where men are judged. Say to Zacharias, the garment is wearing is filthy. That's a high priest. For him to have relevance here, he said, take off that filthy garment. Meanwhile, somebody else who is not in the political office of priesthood is the one pleading on behalf of Zacharias. When they come to earth, Zacharias will say, I'm the high priest. He doesn't know in the spirit. The reason he's still there is because somebody has ascended to that court who has authority to talk where he can't talk. He's talking. Our world is lacking priests. Men can't ascend. You stay in your room, you distract yourself with movies for 7 hours, when your fellows are digging, when your fellows are traveling, You distract yourself with YouTube. You are watching movies. You are on Netflix. A priest spent 4 hours on Netflix. Meanwhile, the fate of Kenya is being decided. You don't even know the day. I can tell you, there are some men who will tell you, next Tuesday, they will discuss Kenya. And they know because they've been to heaven. They know the calendar. They can tell you the day they will pass the judgment over Kenya. And in the spirit, that day they will come there and tell God, how about the covenant you made to the fathers? Show mercy. And so the reason Kenya will stand is because of those men that have no names. And then you are wasting your time with Netflix. Do you want to pray now? If I go beyond here now, I will say some things. They may call it heresy, so I will stop. Because even those in Nigeria are watching. Tomorrow you will hear, they will say, Apostle Mark said, the owner of Nigeria is Pa Elton. Then people will start fighting because very few people go there. Very few people. Do you know who owns Kenya? Do you know? If you know who owns Kenya, you will go back and study his walk with God. And you will find out, what did God tell him? You will find out, what were the dealings of the spirit that God subjected him to? Because the only way you can reclaim Kenya is to find out the life of that man. Because his life will become a roadmap for the nation of Kenya. That's why today they study Moses. Because he bettered Israel. You know, you must understand, there's a God that you will find in the secret place to have authority in Israel. But we have not journeyed. He said in Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4. He said, the neck of David is a mountain. He said, upon it are the armors of many warriors. There are some men that fought in Kenya and held government backward. They've gone to be with the Lord, but nobody can weave their mantle. You didn't check in the spirit. You have not ascended. Those things are in courts. They are waiting for those who can come and say, Father, Kenya cannot go backward. We insist that we will appear in what you spoke concerning this nation. And when they insist for a long time, God will hand over those mantles to them and send them back to Kenya. That is how priesthood changes territories. Maybe I should stop here and leave you with a body. Tomorrow we can do power. Some things are more than power. There are 8 things I put about ranking of priesthood. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Listen, don't pray religiously. I've said 2 things here. Number one, I spoke about alignment. Some of us, our garments are filthy. That's why we can't bring deliverance to this nation. As you pray, you will ask God to purge that area. Nobody knows it. But the business you are doing is among spirits. It's not among men. Men can clap for a fornicator. They won't know. But in the spirit realm, they say you have come to an innumerable company of angels. To the spirit of just men made perfect. You have come where they see beyond what eyes, ordinary eyes see. And so that is a filth in that realm. It can't let you wield power. And then there are some of you that you can't ascend and you can't discern. So you pray, but you don't know what is happening above your head. If that is your case, what you'll be asking God tonight is, give me access. Give me access. Give me access. I want to journey to where the patriarchs journeyed and they shaped this nation. Give me access. Give me access. And if you have a filthy garment, you will tell the Lord, purge me with your blood. I want to do business in deep waters. I don't want to be shut out. I don't want to be told the stories of my country. I want to be part of those who will shape it. You want to pray those prayers? Ask the Lord in 2 minutes. Talk to the Lord now. It's a conference of songs. I wish I have clearance to say some things, but I've said too much already. I've said too much.
You look for men in Nairobi. You look for men in Africa. Lord, remember me. When you look for men in Nairobi.
Begin to talk to God now.
You look for men in Africa.
Don't sit down. Lord, and men begin to rise. And you are wondering, where are they from? Some of your disciples can become voices in Kenya. Jesus, don't be the man who is spectating. Be the man who is making things happen. And so tonight, cry. Tonight, cry.
Remember me.
Cry. For my own nation, most of the prophecies we look up to, they were uttered by a man who didn't come from our borders. But when he stepped into Nigeria, he beseeched God until he arrested the destiny of the nation. Most of the patriarchs today are his offsprings, including the patriarch Benson Idahosa. They were mentored by him. He taught them the ways of God because he shaped that nation by prophecy.
Remember me, Lord, when you look for
some men. Of you will need to wail and say, God, remember Kenya. When you look for daughters from Kenya, do not pass me by. I'm willing to pay the price.
You look for men in Africa, Lord, remember.
Maraka vado regadis. There are three apostles that shaped Christianity in Nigeria.
Remember me, oh.
Pa Elti.
Remember.
Apostle Babalola. And the great patriarch person in Dahosa. They shaped that nation in the spirit.
Jesus.
Today you can't come from any angle without making reference to them. How can men be so mighty? There is so much to do in Kenya. This is why you came. This is why you
remember
come. That generations after you will make reference to your walk with God.
Jesus,
the prophecies you utter will become a compass for a generation.
Son of David, remember me, oh.
Barakida Banos.
Remember me.
God came to visit Israel and he said, I have remembered my covenant to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Jesus,
because
Jesus.
Nations belong to men. Men own nations. But it's on the altar that they bet them. They say, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children.
Remember me, oh. Remember me. Thou son of David. Remember me.
When
you look for men,
in the name of Jesus, I want to make an altar call. Hear me. There are some of you that need to give your heart to Christ because a season has come where God will raise warriors again. And there are some of you that need to rededicate yourself. Either because your garment is filthy, or because you have yielded to distraction so much that you are heavy, you can't ascend in the spirit. Meanwhile, the fate of your nation rests upon you. Some of you, your nation is in darkness because you have not arisen as a son. And so today you want to hold on to the horn of the altar and say, Lord, have mercy. I have failed you, but give me another chance. Just in case you are in any of this category and you want to come to the altar, please rush out. Let me pray with you. A new order, a new dispensation is about to be born.
Take
there are certain things that are bigger than praying for the sick and prophesying.
Take my life and reap the nations for you.
Kenya needs sons.
Daddy, take
and you are one
life.
Of them.
Take my life. I reap the nations for you. Spend my life. You can spend my life. Oh. And reap the nations for you. Please take my life. Take my time. Oh. I reap the nations.